Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I am Coach Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, my guest, four young travel content creators and storytellers from Uganda, Jonathan Benaya, Brian Jonathan, Charles Mwesiga, and Brian Ahiriza, delve into their latest piece of work dubbed The Best Job Ever, tourism documentary which chronicles 14 days on the road in the Pearl of Africa, Uganda. Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I have been joined by three gentlemen who embarked on a very noble project titled The Best Job Ever. And that is to showcase what Uganda has to offer in terms of tourism, conservation, and everything else that you seek to enjoy at the Pearl of Africa, right? So without much ado, I'm going to ask the lead, Jonathan, to introduce himself and the team, and then we get the conversation going, guys.
Well, thank you so much, Kojo. It's indeed a pleasure to be here. Thanks for putting aside the time to talk to us. I'm Jonathan Benaya. I am Ugandan, and I like to pride myself as a Ugandan tourist. I work in the tourism sector, and I do a lot of publicity and PR and promotion for Destination Uganda. But that's not, we're not here to talk about me, we're here to talk about the project that we had, which was dubbed The Best Job Ever, which was basically a 14 days wild trip around Uganda. We call it a wild trip because all the guys that joined are like full-on safari guys. We like the bush, we like to be out in the wild, we like to experience really raw things, raw experiences, let it be with the communities, let it be with the wildlands. So we called it 14 Wild Days, of course it was four gentlemen on four wheels. So we were moving with the 14 days, four wheels, four gentlemen, and we traveled for 4,000 kilometers. And the main goal of the project was just to offer some message of hope to both people working in the tourism sector in Uganda, but also tourists that would, around this time, be on safaris, being the high season, July to September, would usually have the busiest part of our year. Unfortunately, that couldn't happen this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So we hit the road just to show people some of what they would have experienced if the things were normal, but also to get messages of hope from people doing the tourism business, and also just offer a message of hope to people, authorities, tourism businesses, private sector and public sector, and the tourism sector was still here. So with me, we had Charles Mwesigwa, who was in charge of all the casting and just ensuring that the trip went on well. Then we had Brian Ahiriza, who was the man behind the wheels. He drove for close to 4,000 kilometers, he did contribute to the content as well. We did have Brian or Jonathan. It's quite confusing because we had two Brians and two Jonathans. We had someone that has both my name and Brian's name. So we had Brian or Jonathan who was a drone pilot. He unfortunately couldn't sign up today. Those were the four gentlemen. And we got to see some really stunning places. We got to experience some really out of this world experiences, most of which we could not capture on camera. But we were able to get some moments on camera, which we presented in a documentary that just came out last week. That's titled The Best Job Ever.
Good. Excellent. Now, let me come to Charles, because I'll come back to Jonathan first, talk about the the partnership of this project and what was the exact motivation in terms of the business case, you know, then we can proceed from there. But let me go to Charles. Charles, tell us. I mean, you're the one doing the casting.
Yes.
And introduce yourself again to, you know, to my listeners, and then, yeah, we can proceed on with the casting business.
I'm delighted to be here in this meeting, and to all the listeners, I am Charles Mwesigwa, a Ugandan tourist enthusiast. I like traveling and I like planning safari for whoever feels like traveling around East Africa. And when the campaign came up to bring hope to the tourism industry, both local and internationally, I welcomed it gladly, and I was just ready to put on my safari boots and some few shirts to hit the road and make things happen.
Okay, no, that's fine. So, what was your role? What were you doing? What? Tell us some of the, you know, exciting things on the road that you experienced. Even before we go.
Well, my role was
not your role on. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead. I'm listening. Thank you.
Well, I was the campaign manager. As Jonathan told you, I was in charge of casting and making sure the safari was properly arranged and everything that was agreed on or whatever was meant to be done had to come out as earlier agreed or as desired by the team. And when it comes to the experiences, I had personally a best experience in eastern Uganda, right out from Pianope through the Moroto until Kabong, driving through the landscape and really amazing. And then when go to the wildlife in Chidepo Savannah, Chidepo National Park, I would really love to say that everybody should plan and find some time to visit Uganda's farthest destination of Chidepo. It's really rewarding.
Okay, well, excellent. Brian, let me come to you that, what was the motivation? I know Jonathan, you know, given us a sense of exactly how you guys wanted to embark on this project, but the motivation of doing it, maybe let's say, I mean, we are not in post-COVID yet, but during COVID, why do you decide to, even in, you know, in the midst of the pandemic, that you still have some level of restrictions, you decided to embark on this?
I hope everyone can hear me right now.
Yes, but then introduce yourself to us. Yes.
Okay. Brian Ahereza is my name, and I am more into content development of destination East Africa, but majorly focusing around Uganda as my home country. But I personally am a safari planner, and I really enjoy the fact that travel is something that everyone can get into, and you know, you get passionate about it. But it's when I talk about the best job ever campaign and the whole process of what we went through in doing all this, so that it was going to be available to different people and different markets, both local and international, is that there was no hope, you know, from around March up to around like July. I'm very sure the entire world was really under the things they had never expected in their lives. So I personally, working in the tourism industry, I had a few clients who had canceled their trips, you know, postponed everything to next year, trying to see whether things would be back to normal. So I said, okay. Jonathan brought up the idea, and we discussed it too, me and him. I mean, Jonathan Benaya. So we said, okay, I actually told him, yeah, I think we can do 7 days, but he insisted, okay, let's do about 14 days. So the fact that I'm always on the road, knowing what exactly to expect in the field, I said, okay, we can do 14 days, but you know, it's gonna be a tough road. But regardless of whatever we went through, we tried to put each and everything together, got the partners, the help of different bodies and, you know, lodge partners. Very many people came on board. And yeah, everyone received it in a very good manner, and thinking that it was a joke, but everyone got surprised with what we actually did. And I would say, as for now, it's becoming a success. That is what I would say.
Okay, no, excellent. That's fine. Now, Jonathan, who are your main partners? Because to put up this project, the best ever job, the best job ever done, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
To the do best that, job ever.
The best job ever. Wow. Wow. So to do that in Uganda and for the tourism sector, one will assume that partners like the, you know, Ugandan Tourism Board, the wildlife, and major stakeholders in the ecosystem of tourism in Uganda were part. Did you start with anyone, or is it just an initiative that you guys picked up, and are they willing to support this whole enterprise?
Yeah, thanks, Kojo. As Brian did mention, the idea was birthed by the four of us. So it was more of a private initiative, but we were really, I could say, surprised at how well it was received by various stakeholders, both in the public and the private sector. From the private sector, we got endorsement from the Uganda Tourism Board, which is basically the body that's mandated to promote, market, and just ensure the quality of the tourism product in Uganda. We did have Uganda Wildlife Authority on board as well, who helped us subsidize on some of the activities that they have in the national parks, in the wildlands. Of course, it was a win-win for both of us. Of course, our aim was to have a documentary out, but also for Uganda Wildlife Authority, it was an opportunity for them to have some of their products, some of their destinations really highlighted. Brian did mention that we had quite a number of popular and unpopular destinations. That was intentionally done. There were spots like Markshon Falls, Queen Elizabeth National Park, which are really popular spots for anyone that comes on safari in Uganda. But we chose to include some rare and known destinations like Pian Upe Wildlife Reserve, the Mliki Wildlife Reserve, which gave an opportunity for UWA, Uganda Wildlife Authority, to highlight some of those. On the side of like fuel sponsors, we had two main fuel sponsors. That was Soft Power Communications. They are a local media company that is really full and throttle in support for tourism. Every time you run to them, they are really positive about anything tourism. Then we also had Matoke Tours, who were also supportive in terms of allocating some funds towards fuel. Then we got quite a lot of support from lodge partners wherever we went. We had Adere Safari Lodge in Kidepo Valley National Park. We had Pakuba Safari Lodge. We had Buffalo Safari Lodge in Queen Elizabeth. We had Karatumba Karamoja Safari Camp in Moroto. We had Elephant Hub Lodge in Queen Elizabeth. We had Turaco Treetops in the Chibale Forest area. We did have support from exclusive camps, that's the Shasha Wilderness Camp. We also had support from Uganda Jungle Lodges at their Bugoma Jungle Lodge property. We did have support from Nyati Game Lodge as well. And of course, a list of so many other partners. World Frontiers offered us a boat, which enabled us cruise to the bottom of the falls. It was quite amazing that we were among the very first people to do the boat cruise, of course, after the so many months of lockdown. And what was stunning about the experience is that the water levels have really risen. So for anyone that's been to Markshon Falls, you know, so many years back, the experience is absolutely different. The water is really high. The falls are mightier than they have ever been. And it's just testament to how we've always said that Marshall Falls is the most powerful waterfall, and I must say it's become even more powerful. We had Levels Kitchen who offered us a couple of meals. We had Go Explore Safaris. We had Braka Tours and Travel. We had the Tourism Powerhouse. We had Natural Technologies, Rome Safaris. Wow. We did get support from Sleepy Falls Guide who offered us a tour. We actually had a virtual tour on our very first day of the trip. And there are so many people that signed up for that trip, and they got to see live what a tour is like in Sleepy Falls. But above all, I'd like to highlight the support we got from our digital team, who we branded the Virtual Tourist. They enabled us to push the hashtags and make them trend. Actually, 2 weeks before the trip even happened, we were trending in Uganda. So by the time we hit the road, this thing was already... it had already blew up, which was all to the credit of our digital team, who we call the Virtual Tourist.
Wow, excellent. I think that from your account, it looks as if the tourism community in Uganda really supported this whole project, and that's very good for the sector. Brian,
yes.
What did you pick up, okay, in terms of the positioning of Uganda? You know, because once you undertook this expedition, what were your highlights that you believe that from this experience and, you know, the number of years I've been covering the country, that they can use to, if you like, diversify the product offering, or they can use that to, you know, grow tourism both domestically and inbound?
Well, that's a very good question, Fojo. I would be honest with you, for the last about, I think I joined the industry around 2016, when it comes to infrastructure development, for the years that have been passing, I would say the road connection around Uganda right now is quite amazing, especially in the north, where we didn't have the best roads that could connect to these destinations that we visited. Of course, a few that are developing, especially like I would say Tian Upe Game Reserve, where the destination is new, and development might take a little bit longer for them to, you know, put like the best roads to connect to the places. But apparently, there is even a new airstrip that is being constructed to enable travelers to connect by air, and roads connecting to places like Moroto and Kidepo, they were amazing. I remember some time back when I traveled to Kidepo Valley National Park, that's like 3 years back, there was no road. We spent about 2 days while traveling to the place, but it took us about like 7 hours to connect from Moroto to Kidepo. And of course, from Kidepo to Murchison Falls, I would say even before you leave Kidepo, there are so many now new lodges that are coming up, and meaning that the place is going to be more seen and visible to an international market as well. So I would say the best highlights, I would say that the places are changing, and products are going to be now more accessible, especially like this destination. And we hope there are so many things that are coming up as well.
Okay, good, Brian. Now the second Brian has just joined us. Brian Jonathan. Brian, are you there? Hello, Brian. Okay, I think he's having a problem connecting with us. Let me go back to Charles.
I think Charles, his microphone is muted.
Okay. Yes, coach.
Hello, Brian Jonathan, are you there? Hello, Brian, can you unmute yourself? Okay, so once Brian, you know, makes effort to join us, let me go back to Charles. Hello, Charles.
Yes, Koji.
Yeah, so Charles, the point I was coming to was the fact that what is the business case to this amazing Best Job project? What are you going to do to push it out, sell it, and, you know, take it from there?
Well, Kojo, if I have understood your question, you're asking what is after from the project, right?
I was asking that, what is the business case? How are you going to market this project? How are you going to make the business out of this?
We started with a domestic media companies that has local stations that have come out to ask us to share with them the information to the public to see. Organizations or media companies will come to request for the same, which will come to a situation where we can begin reaping from the viewership when it is uploaded onto their channels. Because Jonathan uploaded it on his YouTube channel, so we hope that once the viewership is into the level of monetization, we can start small with whatever comes into his account. But he also did mention that we're looking at a few friends of his in the US to show the same documentary on that COVID has affected most of the sectors, but once the business is fully open, has to be our next target for us to make sure we reap from this project.
Okay, all right. As we wrap up...
Kojo.
Yes.
Jonathan. Kojo, may I just quickly add?
Please add. Go ahead.
Business case, one side. I'd like to say that the project from the onset, we looked at this as a lockdown gift to Uganda. The question about how much we would make from this, we didn't really go into that as a thought. Our main goal was just to get this out, to get the word out. Of course, the tourism board has quite a bit going on in sending out assurance messages. But as private players and as just people that are passionate about this country and how beautiful it is, we thought that we would offer a lockdown gift. Now, the monetization bit just comes by the way. Our main goal is just to get this word out as much as we can. Charles has already mentioned that through some local media, we've been able to get some articles written. We do have
and us, you can count on us also. As part of also wanting our own business case, we want to also promote things. Jonathan, personally, as we talk, that we are happy to see that Africans on the road themselves are creating, we're building the content themselves, and people ought to support you. We know that, we live in a global space, but sometimes the challenge that we didn't talk about was some of these things don't get, some people from their destination don't get the support they require in terms of acknowledgement of performance. So it's important to say, but we at Voyage Africa, we are available to tell the story and, ensure that our readers and listeners can be able to follow this good work that you guys have put together. So continue, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Well, you got that out of my mouth. I was coming from local to international. Yeah, because your platform is more on an international level, and we really appreciate, I personally really appreciate all the support you given to Uganda's tourism sector over the years and all the support you continue to give. Charles did mention that we're also reaching out to friends in the US, but particularly in Hollywood, but not like major Hollywood. we are trying to get it to show at some small virtual tourism festivals.
No, small. Let's aim for big. Okay, let's aim for big, and then if whatever comes, you pick it up from there. Because so far as the work is a good job, the standard bearer.
Thank you, Kojo.
The standard around the world is one. Once that we meet everything, global standards, whatever that it is, in terms of the quality, the casting, the shoots, we cannot have Uganda standard and have world standard. I mean, let's aim for that so that people know that they can hire the team, you guys, to do their work either in Ghana, in Kenya, or any part of the world. So I think that, yeah, it's good to look at the bigger picture, and then we can be able to push the African, or the, you know, the black excellence to the world.
Yeah. Thanks for that advice, Kojo. Thank you.
No, that's fine. Brian.
Yes, please.
Tell us what you think going forward, what we can do, or the industry can do to support people like yourself. Because look, let's face it, sometimes in the line of duty and reporting and writing and content creators, sometimes people see it as just leisure. But it's business. You invest a lot of resources in your equipment, in other things that you're doing. So it's right that if you want to support the African project, you know, Brian and the guys there are the, you know, best job ever, not asking for money, but asking for value for money that you can be able to offer. So what is it that you think that can be the low-hanging fruits that people can, you know, support this project as we wrap up?
To my perspective in this whole, especially when it comes to the monetization part of it, I would say there are so many things that you'd consider, especially like you said, there is so much that is invested in, especially like the equipment. And I personally, I would say, being a safari planner, I look at this in position of like, what equipments are we going to use? Are we going to walk through the entire 14 days? Things like that. So when you bring it into a money perspective, say, like, for example, I would say our Uganda Tourism Board, there are so many things that that are going on, and we feel like the best job ever team, what we did was something that has never happened to our country like Uganda, that a country like Uganda under a branding board like Uganda Tourism Board should have, like, you know, given us an opportunity, you know, to do this for the country, and we also benefit from it as, you know, the people that who are really interested in bringing out the best of destination Uganda to the whole world, and as well the local market. So yeah, I would say when it comes to the money, it would be something very nice for us as well to, you know, earn something big from such a project.
No, because if it's not sustainable, then it's not worth doing. We have to establish that. If it's not sustainable, it's just a charity, and you don't have that charity money, that millions of euros or dollars.
Yes.
So that's a fine.
And of course, Kojo, it was our first shot, you know.
Oh yeah.
No, there is no way you can run to a money perspective first, then someone gives.
I understand you. I definitely understand you, and I've been in this business, so I really understand you. Now, the final words, guys. What do you think about domestic tourism and COVID and all of that? In 1 minute, each and anyone, you mean, in 30 seconds, Charles. Let me start with you, Charles. What do you think about domestic tourism now, post COVID, and why are we still locked down in Uganda?
Well, domestic tourism post COVID looks brighter because friends have known about different attractions wherever they are located. But in this lockdown and after this documentary, a lot of them are coming to my inbox asking, where is this from? Is it to this destination to see this? So post COVID, I think domestic tourism is going to improve. One thing, property owners maybe need to change the mindset and also embrace local tourism, because we have a problem in Africa, I would say it, that to our property, we do not attach value, we do not put upon afford them the respect. So indeed, they are forced to move away.
Okay.
So we always have that problem. But if we treat everybody on the same continuum, domestic tourism will pick up and will reap big in future.
Okay, thank you. Jonathan, your final words as we wrap up. What's your final
thanks,
on domestic tourism?
Well, it's definitely obvious that right now with quite a lot of long haul travel on hold, domestic tourism and for some countries intra-African travel is the way to go. I honestly don't want to discuss it as a remedy to the COVID period. I just feel domestic tourism should be one of those things that are embedded in the tourism development process, whether with or without a crisis. I know there's going to be a need for both the private sector and the public sector to work together to make this happen. Because things like having special rates for the locals and having them in a local currency. So I think it's going to be a lot of collaboration between the public and private sector, but definitely not as a tool to get us out of the crisis.
Okay, guys, thank you, Charles, Jonathan, Brian. It's been wonderful speaking to you on the VA Tourism Podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kojo.
You're most welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Kojo, for having us.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.